Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, when we look back 20 years from now, we look and realize that this, the year 2026, is when everything changed. Everything turned on its head from one direction to another. But because we are living through it, it might not necessarily seem as such, but that's exactly how we'll be seeing it retrospectively when we look from some years back and look back. Praise the Lord. Last week, of course, as I'm sure you know, on Saturday, the forces of Israel and America went and bombed Tehran and attacked the Islamic regime in that place. And it was extremely necessary, not just from the American perspective, that's really none of our business, but was necessary from the church's perspective. Because you see, Iran is different from the, or has been different from the other Islamic nations. Their version of Shia Islam sees things in a different way. And theirs is apocalyptic. Their vision is not about getting money, getting oil, getting wealth, and so on, and the way other people are. No, it's not. Theirs is apocalyptic. Shia Muslims believe that Islam was supposed to be passed down. What differentiates them from the majority, who are the Sunni, is that Islam is supposed to, the people who replaced Muhammad were supposed to be his biological children, the 12 of them, and it is supposed to pass down through his bloodline, the leadership of Islam. Now, that's what they believe. And but they also believe that one of the children of Muhammad is alive now and has been alive for like 1,200 years and is waiting to be unleashed in this end time, and he is going to come out when there is a war between the Islamic world and Israel, and he's going to come and conquer Israel and Islamize the whole world, and those who do not turn into Islam will be killed. That's what they believe. Now, therefore, it was their mission to make sure that they create that war so that that man comes out of his hiding place, wherever it is, where he has been for 1,200 years. His beard must be really long. Now, that has been their mission. So theirs is apocalyptic. It is not the things other people fight for, like, you know, oil, fighting for resources and what. It has very little to do with that. And that is their version of Shia Islam. So now they have been plotting, and they realize that the only way that they are actually going to foment a real war with Israel is when they have nuclear weapons, the same way that Israel does, because Israel does have them, and they are stockpiled somewhere. And they have stated that they would use them in case they feel that they are come under an existential threat. But it's easier for them, and that they have been doing this to stop Iran from acquiring those weapons. Now, the other day, Donald Trump was the president of America, of course, was saying that if they hadn't gone and done what they called the bombed, you know, the nuclear facilities, which are underground in Iran. Because what they did, when they realized that Israel would just come and bomb, they went underground. And it's a very rocky terrain. It's a big country, Iran, but the people stay in a smaller part of the country. The other one is extremely rocky and has a lot of very rocky mountains. Now, they went under there, and that's where they were building their nuclear weapons. And nobody would come and destroy them from there because, you know, they were covered by rocks. And also in America, which had the ammunition to come and drop bombs to break through the concrete, through the rocks, and actually go down and destroy those things. And they did that. And they called it Operation Midnight Hammer. Midnight something, that time. And Trump said that in 2 weeks, if they hadn't done that, Iran was going to have a nuclear weapon. 2 weeks, according to his estimate. Now, after that, they wanted to still have it, and they were still close to having it because they had uranium which was enriched to the level of about 60%. And if they get to 90%, they can load it and then have a nuclear weapon. And it was estimated they were just a few months away from actually achieving that throughout all of this. So, of course, a lot of things were happening. You know the way those Israelis do their things. Something was being planned. Now, how the way they managed to mess these guys up is because Iran does not expect Israel to attack during the day. All the attacks have been at night, all of them. But now this time Israel decided to get them off guard. And largely because they gathered all the people they wanted gathered together in one room and were discussing the next thing. They went for peace talks in Geneva with America and Israel, and they promised they are not going to get a nuclear weapon. Then when they went back, the supreme leader spoke in Farsi, their language, saying those guys are kidding. We are going to get the nuclear weapon whether they want it or not. So now it became evident that they are determined to have it, and it's not to keep it the way other countries have it, because so many other countries have nuclear weapons, but theirs, they wanted to get it to use it. You see, eh? Other people just get it for protection. You see, people talk about North Korea. Have you ever had North Korea fighting anybody? They are in their business. So they have nuclear weapons, but they are not using them, and they are not even threatening to use them. They are just saying, don't touch us. Let us have our country. And by contrast, of course, Iran was determined that Israel was never going to have any peace as long as Iran was there. And of course, they were sponsoring so many of the proxies, the fighters who were fighting Israel, from Hamas, who are in the Gaza region, to the Houthis, who are in Yemen, to Hezbollah, who are in Lebanon, which is just above Israel, and to all the others, and somehow everybody. But that's not all. They were also sponsoring a lot of the propaganda against Israel. There's a lot of anti-Israel propaganda which has been going on, all sponsored by Iran. And now you're going to see how the world is going to change without Iran. Because there's a lot of propaganda. You remember when they were saying that the people of Gaza are starving, Israel is starving them. The other day, the United Nations, which is no friend of Israel, did a survey, and they found that if Palestine was a nation, they would be the 28th fattest nation. They are not starving, they are overfed. They are almost as fat as Americans. But the propaganda says they are starving. But you see, when you look, and when you see even the things they don't have money, they have world class underground tunnel technology. World class, all the money they give them, they just use it to fight. So anyway, my point is this. So now it's going to change without Iran money, without Iran propaganda. The propaganda is just as powerful as the money, because it's what gets everybody so angry. You know, Israel is starving the Palestinians. They are fat. They need gyms. According to United Nations, not me. United Nations, which is no friend of Israel. You see, eh? Now, as well as so many other things which were found to be totally false, but they are propagated out there and they are put out there. And now let me tell you this. Because the world is so gullible, that propaganda has managed to stab everybody against Israel. Because I'll tell you this, people are dying in Iran, you know that. Eh? Are you seeing ambulances and what of children whose legs have been cut off and what? Are you seeing that? No, it only happens in Gaza. Because somehow in Gaza, anybody who dies, there is a camera crew, there is a director, there is what? You see, it's all propaganda. It's like the way COVID was, where you see the guy who is behind the camera, who is broadcasting, putting on a mask and what, and the guy who is this side, who is doing, is free. Because they are trying to show you that, you know, they are propagating something. You know, so you see this guy, oh, COVID, people are dying. And the guy who is holding the camera is not even putting on a mask, is a cheater and what. But you know, they are showing you a picture. So now, after all of this, of course, the truth is the world is going to change. And I'm not saying that from speculative whatever. I'm saying that a bit also because there are scriptures which I can base on to say that. Okay? There are prophecies which there's still a bit of, you know, contention whether this is it or whether I should wait for another. But there are some prophecies which are interesting in that regard. Because there's a prophecy in Jeremiah 49 which talks about Elam. Elam is that same place where Iran is. Or at least there was a kingdom called Elam, which was there. Starting from verse 34. There was a kingdom which was there, which was called Elam. And there also a bit of Persians. Okay? And this is the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet concerning Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the foremost of its might. Now, you know what a bow is? You know what a bow is used to do? A bow is used to launch. The purpose of a bow is to launch. And what does it launch? Arrows. What does it launch in this case? Missiles. Now, there is something that happened when Americans went and hit their bunker busters and went and destroyed, you know, set back Iran in terms of the nuclear weapon a few months ago. They decided that the way they are going to actually get a nuclear weapon is because they have the ability to produce missiles, a lot of missiles, so many of them. So they were producing them very fast. And there were so many, and in the way that they knew that if you come against them, even Israel's Iron Dome technology would be overwhelmed if they shoot so many missiles at the same time. It's not infallible. Some go through, as you've been seeing. Some go through. It just detonates a few. Not a few, many of them, perhaps about 90%, but some go through. And for them, they target commercial centers. They target places where people are. They don't target military installments. So they knew that if they can produce enough missiles, enough of them, then they can now say, we are going to do that atomic bomb, whether you like it or not. And if you dare come against us, we are going to unleash all these missiles on you. Now, that made it urgent that these people go against them, because those missiles were so many, and they have so many. But now America and Israel did something. They did not go for the missiles, they went for the launchers, i.e. they went for the bow. Amen? Because no matter how many missiles you have, you need launchers to get those missiles away from where you are to wherever it is you want to launch. So now there have been all of the bombing and the bombardment has been targeting exactly where the launchers are. Thereby, if they can eliminate, so what happens is, how do they know where the launchers are? They wait for a missile to be released. And then they see where it came from. Then they destroy that launcher. Now it's not going to launch another missile. So that's what they have been doing. So a missile goes, they trace it to where it came from, and they destroy the launcher. They destroy the launcher. So in other words, they destroy the what? The bow, which they used to launch. And it says, that says the Lord of hosts, I'll break the bow of Elam, the foremost of their might. Now, let's go ahead, because you may or may not believe that this is the fulfillment of this. And it says, against Elam I will bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven and scatter them towards all those winds. There shall be no nations where the outcasts of Elam will not go. Now, in the view of so many people, this happened, this precise thing happened when there was the Islamic Revolution in 1979. Because the Persians, or in Iran, were very secular people. They are not Muslims the way you see now. The Muslims just came and took up their country and completely Islamized it. They are Persians. If you see the pictures of the way they used to be before the 1979 revolution, you'll be shocked. You'll see women putting on mini skirts and jeans and things like that. That was before the 1979 revolution, before the Islamic revolution. Now, the other day, to show how far they've moved away from that, the other day, there was a lady who was arrested for not putting on her thing properly. It had apparently gone out of place and people could see her face. So she was arrested and she ended up being killed for that. Now, that's what caused the protests across Tehran, especially, because women now just threw off their scarves and says, no, this is too much. Somebody, how can you kill somebody for just getting their scarf getting off like this? So there were massive protests. And now that Ayatollah man, he ordered the slaughtering. By the way, those people are not jokes, because for them, their thing is apocalyptic. There is no jokes. Like about 40,000 women were killed in that thing. They first got them, arrested them. Even Trump was saying, don't kill them. Let's talk. He said, we are not going to kill them. By the time they went to talk, they had killed them. Some of them young girls and so on. And okay. And then, if they are virgins, the girls, they first rape them before they kill them so that they don't go to heaven. Because according to Islam, you cannot go to heaven. So if you are Muslim, so many of you would not be going to heaven. And that's a joke. Ah, praise the Lord. So the way people are looking at me like this, as if anyway. So this whole thing of, so they Islamized them. Now, according to so many people, this might have been what happened. Because when the Islamic Revolution happened, so many of the Persians, the actual Persians, spread across the world. All of them, they are in Australia, they are in America, they are in Russia, they are in where. And you see, because they can pass for white. They're in Afghanistan. A lot of them are in America, especially the West Coast, Los Angeles, and so on. And they can almost pass for whites. They look almost like the way you'd see Spanish or Portuguese, sort of white. Not the white of Scandinavians, which is pale white. Now, these ones have a bit of color, but, you know. And so they are all across the world. So that could be it. I am not confirming that is it, but I'm just telling you that they moved to all the aspects. Now go to the next. It says, for I'll cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before those who seek their life. I'll bring disaster upon them. My fierce anger, says the Lord, and I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. Now this one I fail to understand, but then let's go ahead. I will set my throne in Elam. Now this is where the contention comes. Is God going to set a throne something? Because some people are interpreting this as, the other day I was seeing, I'm told there is an underground church that has been surviving in Iran, which is quite big actually, in excess of 1 million people. Underground church who got born again. Most of them got born again when they saw Jesus. Because there's been appearing to them, Jesus appearing to them. So there was actually a church. The other day I was seeing a video of them singing worship songs. Actually, I was seeing them singing that Waymaker in Farsi, their language, soon after the fall of it, whatever. And it was a church, and they were, you know, actual believers. So the gospel has to get here as well. But of course, with the Ayatollah and his version of Islam, there was not going to be any gospel there. Now, go ahead. But it shall come to pass in the latter days, I will bring back the captives of Elam, says the Lord. Now, some people believe this is now what is happening, because when the Islamic Revolution collapses, as it is going to right now, and a secular leadership takes over, then maybe the Persians who are dispersed will now come back. And this could be a fulfillment of a prophecy, and they all come back in their, you know, in their place. Because they're actually very proud people, those people. They are extremely proud. They take a lot of interest in how they look. Their women worship being beautiful. More than you women. All women do, in a way. But theirs, you know, it's everything is about, you know, looks. And they're actually naturally beautiful. You see, eh? So are you. But I'm being political. With you, I'm being political. But they're actually extremely beautiful. So now, for you, are beautiful in the spirit. And that's a joke, people. Don't get offended. So they will want to come back to their land, I believe. So I'm waiting to see if it actually happens that, you know, they come back from all the places where they were taken captive. So many of them are in Australia, and a lot of the other, you know, many of them in Europe, by the way, and so much in the west coast of USA. Anyway, so this could be one of it. But the other reason is, when you go to The reason I say that after this there is going to be a time of peace is so easy because, number one, remember that this Shia Islam is has been different from the others. Most of the other Muslim countries had moved away from this apocalyptic Islam. They had gone into capitalism. They are making money. Dubai, Kuwait, Bahrain, and what? They had moved away from those things of planting bombs and what? Their mindset had shifted. Now they are busy making money. And they have enjoyed the fruits of capitalism. Now that's why Iran is hitting them, because they feel they are traitors of what? Of the religion. So they are hitting all of them, even Saudi Arabia, because the crown prince is somebody who is so much inclined towards America that he now they even allowed women to drive. That in Saudi Arabia is big. Like, it's big. That's monumental. Allowing women to drive. But you see, you can see he wants to go full circle, but he has to understand the culture of the people he's dealing with. So he's making changes slowly by slowly. But one thing he said, the crown prince, because the king is too old and almost senile. Now the crown prince is the one who runs it. And he's a very good friend of Donald Trump. And one thing that he said the other day, which showed me that he's moving, is he said that he believes Israel has the right to exist. Now, that coming from a king of Saudi Arabia, because there was a time that even Saudi Arabian planes could not fly. I mean, Israel, any plane going into Israel could not fly over Saudi Arabia. They would not allow it. They would put it down. They would not give them their airspace. But now when America said it's attacking Iran, Saudi Arabia initially said, you're not going to use our airspace. But as soon as the first bombs landed, Saudi Arabia said, you can have all our airspace. So, like, they have kind of betrayed. Now, Iran would want the other Muslims to come in against America and Israel, but they are not. They're actually coming in on behalf of Israel. And that is shocking them, because Israel is intercepting missiles, Iranian missiles, which are headed for Dubai. Now that confuses those people, because they're supposed to be your enemies. And now these guys are hammering missiles, which are going deep into a commercial center where they are going to kill people. And Israel is the one intercepting them. Now Iran feels isolated. And now that is the case, because they are the only ones who have that, who are keeping that, you know, Islam. These other ones have become pure capitalists. Now, and you see, even when Trump went there the other day, and they were even telling him they are going to invest how many billions, even trillions of money in USA. They realized that they had to deal with America. They had to deal with Trump because of one reason, one major reason. And that is that they were going to take away oil. There was a move by the other side to make these electric vehicles become the major things. And somehow these people lose their strength, because their strength is in oil. So now they realize that if Europe and China and America, which was also going in that direction, Elon Musk, all moved EV, then to take over the whole of the world, and suddenly their wealth would dissipate, because their wealth is in oil. So now, when Trump went there and promised them that, no, for us, we are all for oil. We are for oil, and what? They said, we are going to invest. And then that also caused the rift between Trump and Elon Musk, because Musk wanted EV. But Trump said, these guys who are bringing money here want fuel, fossil fuel. So we are going to go with them. So that kind of caused that rift, because, you know, of course, of the Tesla electric vehicles and so on. And that was Musk's interest. But here is my point. The whole world is being shaped after what is happening right now. And we are going to see that shaping soon. The whole EV business is collapsing very, very fast. Extremely fast. It was a fraud in the first place. It was a big fraud. It was trying to take away the natural prosperity of certain people who have it naturally. Because if you take away oil from those desert countries, what do they have? They have nothing. They import all food. They import milk. They import every single thing. They can't even make a textile. The only thing they have is oil. And oil has given them prosperity. You see? Now, if you tell them that we are taking away, you know, so they had also to fight back and say, now, if we have a president who is pushing our fossil fuel things, then we are going to have to support him. I begin to understand the dynamics here. But before we get into the real dynamics, I want to tell you this, that here is how it shapes the whole world going forward. First of all, there is going to be a period of peace, especially for Israel. Now, when there is peace for Israel, because without Iran, there's not going to be any Hamas, there's not going to be any Hezbollah, there's not going to be all those rebel rebels who had made it their thing to always attack Israel, always sponsored, armed, and encouraged by Iran, by the supreme leader. So now when you go to Ezekiel 38, there's something that is interesting that makes me believe that this is going to create a thing of peace. Because it says, starting from verse 7, it says, prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. Go ahead. After many days you will be visited. In the latter years, you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered for many people on the mountains of Israel. Now, of course, this is talking about Israel that is now after being gathered together. You know when it happened in 1948. But isn't what it says, gathered for many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. Now, I looked at that. All of them dwell safely. They are not dwelling safely right now. So something has to happen for all this to happen. And he doesn't just say it here. He actually continues emphasizing that they are dwelling safely. Go ahead. Go to the next verse. It says, you will ascend coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops and many peoples with you. Now this is in the later years, he says that. And those years have yet to come. And then he says, thus says the Lord, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. Now, you can't say Israel is unwalled villages right now, because all their villages have walls up to there with razors because of the surrounding nations. So something would have to have happened for Israel to feel so secure that they are dwelling in safety, that they don't feel they have to. Because it says, a land of unwalled villages, I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely. You see, he's saying the safely is being emphasized. Who dwell safely? All of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. Now, if you see those Israeli villages right now, this is not them. They have bars, they have gates, and they have, you know, a lot of protection. So he says, dwelling safely. Go ahead, verse 12. To take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, and against the people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land. Now, this scripture is so important because it talks about booty, to take plunder and booty from Israel. Now, until recently, there was nothing in Israel that would be described as booty or something of value, apart from Israel were great because of their intellect. And that's not something you can come and capture. Okay? So, but now recently something happened. They discovered a lot of oil off the coast of Israel, within their waters. Enough oil actually to take almost like as if to run the whole world. A lot of it within Israel. So now there is finally something that is of booty, something that is substance, that any country would want to come and, you know, and get. It says that who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell safely in the midst of the land. Go ahead. Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all their young lions will say to you, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take away great plunder? Go ahead. Of course, then he says again, therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day my people Israel shall dwell safely. Will you not know it? Something has got to happen for Israel to start feeling this safety. Three verses here, it's talking about dwelling safely. Safely. They are in safety. That is not now. That has got to be something that's going to happen later. So that means that the destruction of the Islamic regime in Iran might actually be the catalyst of this safety, so that Israel can now find a way to safety. And so that in some years from now, not few actually, a number of them, these next years, when Israel is dwelling in safety, it is also going to be the years for the church to rise up and take control. If the church doesn't rise up, then they would have missed the opportunity. Because remember, what happens with Israel is somehow reflected with the church. What happens with Israel is reflected in the church. So now, when Israel goes and enjoys a victory, as they did, which they call hitting the head of the snake, which was Iran, and something which nobody thought was possible, and somebody where people gather together. But you know, these people, sometimes I wonder about the enemies of these guys, because how did they know that they were all gathered together? I'll tell you what I've heard from people who are inside. They sent their physicians, doctors, dentists. You know, they look the same, these Jews and these Persians. So they sent them into Persia. And they send them when they are young. When they are very young, they grow up, become doctors, dentists, and what. And then they are the ones treating the leadership of Iran. So somebody goes to for a feeding of the teeth, and they put a tracker in it. These guys are crazy. How do you fight people like that? They are too serious. So they put a tracker in, what do they call that, dental feeding? Where you go there, and they put a small tracker inside there. So on this day, they were not planning to attack on that day. It was still about two weeks ahead. Then suddenly, they look and all the people who they are tracking are all in one venue. Then they say, we cannot miss this opportunity. So they just went and destroyed them and hammered them just like that. Of course, there is a lot that still has to... Then, now the deputy commander of the Quds army in Iran was hanged by his fellow guys for being a spy. You know where you don't know who the spy is? Do you know where they create fear and uncertainty? It's just terrible, because you're scared, but you're the spy. But the person who is calling others a spy is the spy. I see that even sometimes here, where someone says, oh, you're a spy. And you say, no, you're the one who is a spy. But you see, now nobody can trust anybody. So now you can't even sit in a meeting and discuss, because you're scared of everybody. Now they create that. And anyway, so my point is, this is going to cause like about a period. I suspect 1 or 2 decades, probably about 2 decades of some level of calm. Because it also exposed a number of things. Number one, it also exposed how China is a paper tiger. They were the ones guarding Maduro in Venezuela. They assured him they had his protection. The Americans came and picked him in the night like this, like a chicken, and went. They did not even lose a single soldier. And China is there keeping guard. Then when they finish, when they reach America, they say, oh, we have Maduro here. And the Chinese who are guarding, you didn't even know what happened. So now that creates uncertainty. Now the same thing, they had China and Russia had a deal with Iran to protect that Ayatollah. And they were using their technology, satellite technology, to see any advancing whatever. They missed it all. So now people who run to China, thinking that China is somehow going to be an adversary militarily of America, they are so far away. They are so far away from being a military adversary. They can be an economic adversary, and probably they are. But military, not a chance. But anyway, let's read. According to Revelation 13, you remember what it says? Verse 2, talking about the Antichrist. Revelation 13. It talks about the dragon will give them his power, his kingdom, and much authority. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. The dragon, of course, we know is the devil. But the dragon is also China. Now, the entirety of the liberal world order, which has been trying to foment, was looking to China as their role model of how things are done. And if you want to know how those people wanted their people to be, you look at China. Now it's become so hard in China because everybody is controlled. They are like ants. They are like, you know, part of a system. They are, you know, where they take all your humanity. You're just part of a system building. You know, the way ants be building, and that's what they do. And then they create some kind of development, which is does not factor in human development, you see, eh? Because there is a place is developed, but when you look at the human beings, they are not developed accordingly. So you just see buildings and so on. And there is that kind of development. And you've seen it even in countries like Ethiopia, where they have these roads, which you see now here, we have our roads here. For them, they have four lanes of roads in the city and what powerful buildings, but you go there, you'll not find a single Ethiopian because the people have not been developed. Now, you see, when you look at Uganda, at least you see that, okay, we are not organized, but whatever good thing we have, you'll find a Ugandan there. You see, we don't have too many good things. But you see now, even this Marriott here, when they open it, you'll find Ugandans there eating money. But there, the only Ethiopians you'll find are those who have come from abroad, who went for Cheyo and what, where they kind of take away the... There's another country which is nearer to us, which I would give an example of, but I don't want to. Huh? Where they take away the people's power to actually enjoy. So you have some order and buildings, but God is interested in the human, actually human development, eh? More than those, you know. So, those ones are going to... The whole liberal order of... especially Europeans and what we're looking towards China, where everything is controlled. There's a sort of capitalism, but it's also a bit of communist socialism, where nobody is supposed to be a billionaire. You see, you're a billionaire, you're suddenly, you stand out, and they say, so everything is collective. There is nothing which belongs to anybody. There is nobody who is rich. Everybody is, you know, somewhere there. So a Jack Ma comes up, and with his Alibaba and what, then the next thing that you hear, they arrested him. And you see even here, these our leaders here, there's something they want about that, where they don't want somebody to come out and be very rich. Now that is Antichrist. Amen? God's system is capitalism. That's why it said, in Luke 19, that he gave each one capital and said, go and do business and multiply and occupy until I return. Doesn't he say that? So Jesus said that he gave two talents, one talent, five talents, and said, go and do business. That's capitalism. Now he does not say, how many are you? Three people. We have how many talents? 12. We divide each other. No, that's not how it is.
He said, each one according to his capacity. Now, anything that seeks to, that communist thing which they try to bring, you see, communism is so interesting because it has an allure to it where it makes people think it's you know, equitable, you know, nobody is suffering. And then all it succeeds in doing is making everybody poor and people comfortable in their poverty because they are not seeing anybody rich. So they say, since nobody is rich for us, everyone will be comfortable in their poverty. Now that's what it is. And it is Antichrist. It is Antichrist. That system is, and that's why it eventually kills Christians, kills what? Because you cannot mix Christianity with communism or with socialism. You can't. They never mix. That is not how God works. Because with God, there is favor. Some people are favored over others. Okay? Abraham becomes very rich because he has the blessing of God. Now, if he was in a communist place, they would say, no, you bring your wealth and we distribute it. That's the communist. But God doesn't say, bring your wealth and distribute it. No, you have it. It's yours. You're blessed. You have it. Multiply. Accumulate. So, that liberal world order is looking towards China to have that sort of thing where there is apparently some sort. And Europe had gone so far in that direction, very, very far in that direction, stripping people of, you know, all sorts of individual wealth, creating some kind of socialism in countries that some people even admire, Denmark, Norway, but it's all fake. If you don't have a billionaire, you're fake. America has thousands of billionaires. But you see, when they come, they start saying, we don't want billionaires. But billionaires are billionaires because they did something good. Nobody gave them free money. But see, there are other people who want, you know. Now, so those ones are looking towards China. That is their system, the dragon giving them the authority. And all of them are looking in that direction. But then, thank God, there is another one direction which is being fomented here, which is Israel and America, which are looking in the opposite direction, which are saying, no. Individual wealth. If you're poor, it's your fault. It's nobody else's fault. Amen? It's whose fault? Your fault. You are not answering me enthusiastically, but it's still your fault. If you're poor. If you're rich, it's because you've done something. You see, and that's how it is. Now those ones are looking to America. Now when you reach it, Revelation 12, it's starting from, I think, verse 11 somewhere there. Start from 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, strength, and kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love them. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. By the way, one day when you understand what the inhabitants of the sea mean. Okay. Go to verse 13. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman. The woman is Israel, who gave birth to the male child being Christ. Go ahead. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness. Now you see, Israel, the woman, given two wings of a great eagle. The eagle is America. So now, America and Israel coming together to foment this side. Now I'm going to finish quickly because number one is beginning to drizzle. Number two, we have Holy Communion. So think of starting giving out Holy Communion. So now, America and Israel, this side, the other side, China, looking this side. But now the countries are being divided. You can see some countries have decided they want to go the way of China. They include Australia. In the current leadership, they include the UK. They include Germany. The other day, their chancellor went to China. And he came back and he went straight to Trump and he trashed China. I don't know what happened to him in China. He must have seen something terrible. Maybe he said dragon. But he somehow came and came this side. But now you see countries like the UK, like Canada, like Australia, like what? All of them are facing China, removing free speech, trying to turn away, you know, Twitter stroke X, you know, trying to squeeze their people to create a scenario like is in China. The other day in China, there was a story which alarmed the people because a man went and jumped on a woman and started strangling her in the midst of a very busy place. And people just looked on. The woman cried for help. People just looked on and nobody did anything because they are so scared. You don't know if you help what is... You know, when people are so scared that they can't even do anything. Like even their humanity goes away. Because there they have those social credit systems. If you do something which is deemed to be wrong, they close your bank accounts. Now, there's things which they were saying, central bank digital currency. I see some fools here in Bank of Uganda who are saying central bank digital currency. It's not going to happen. Because it has been overtaken by events. That would have happened if Trump hadn't won. But now it is all changing. Even the World Economic Forum, everything has changed. Their leader resigned the other day because he was in the Epstein files. And by that, let me tell you, the world is changing this year. Because when you realize that even Bill Gates is going to be in court in Netherlands over his COVID vaccine stupidity, and now he has been summoned to Congress to answer for molesting young children in the Epstein files and so many other things. Now, those are people who are untouchable. Those were the high priests of that system. But now you see they are shaken. Even Obama has now gotten lawyers because he's going to be questioned. Obama, that's like their Messiah. So the Spirit of God has shifted things like this. And people who are considered to be untouchable now are so shaky. And then you know 2026 is going to be a year where even, let me tell you, even here you will see people who are of the persuasion of Christ taking positions here. And perhaps it starts slowly. Somebody was telling me the other day, like, the Lord Mayor. It starts slowly, because I know him, he's the born-again Jack. Slowly, the next thing you know, somebody born-again. And then you, by the time you look back 5 years from now, you wonder, where did all these born-again people come and take positions of authority? And actually, they have taken them, and they are seated there. And it has happened. And now, the people who were once considered untouchable are now running scared, very shaky. They are resigning. Can you imagine the brother to King Charles being put in handcuffs because of molesting young children? Their blood is... And they don't just molest them. They molest them and then they eat them. They eat their flesh. This is not a joke. These are deep satanists. They eat their flesh. Some of you have not been following some of the things in those Epstein files. They are very dark. Very dark. These are demons which are masquerading as human beings. Okay, human beings masquerading as demons. Whichever. one way or the other. But these are very, very dark people. But now they are running scared. Where they come for the brother of the king. And then he says... Then they ask the king, what do you say? Then he says, let the law take its course. But the guy, everybody knew that man, Prince Andrew, is a molester. Everybody knew. One day, a kid jumped out from his balcony. I think running away from, and jumped to its death. Running away from. But somehow, he got out with it. But when the atmosphere changes, people who are untouchable, you should see what Obama is scared. Obama. Their Messiah. Man. whoever thought would see this. By the end of 2026, you remember that it all turned around in this year. Because something happened in the heavenlies that now those people are running scared. Now you see it's happening in the political arena. It's happening. Now what is left is the church. Praise the Lord. Now that brings me to my message of Holy Communion as we come to an, you know, to an end. Praise the Lord. God we have been experiencing for 1 week now, we have been experiencing a restoration of everything that the enemy stole. Everything that the enemy stole, praise the Lord. Everything that the enemy stole is being restored. Everything. And there's been a lot. And some of it's going to hit you. And you say, where was all this? It's almost like the retaining wall of a dam has broken. And everything that was supposed to be yours is now flooding towards you. Now, this is what we are going to have Holy Communion to. A real restoration. Because I know it's happening. I have seen it happening. And restoration is not complete until your enemy has been totally subjugated and put in completely. I told you at the end of last year that the Lord told me, now we are not just, if somebody comes against you in the spirit, you don't just fend him off and continue. No. Release judgment upon him so that they know that Jesus is Lord. You see, some of these witchcraft people have to know that Jesus is Lord. Amen? They have to know that what? Sometimes I've done it, some other times I have not. But now, we have to know that. Because you see, there are people there, you know, who do witchcraft and they think that they're all that. You see, eh? Now we have to start releasing judgment upon them. So that he comes against you, as the scripture says, they come against you one way and they flee how many ways? Seven ways. The time is now. Praise the Lord. They live scarred. They do not live the same. So that next time they even think about it, they are discouraged. They are not going to try. They will not attempt it again. Because otherwise they keep you rotating there. Then they send something, then you fend it off. They send something. No. You've sent it to me. Okay, let me also show you something. And then, because we have to move to higher things. We are not going to be there with small witchcraft people. We have higher things to deal with. We have a nation to take over. We actually have the world to take over. Now everything is being done. It's time for the church to take over the world. Amen? So we are not going to be, the enemy is not going to keep us in small battles. Then by what? Then your neighbor comes and enters your land. Then what? Now those ones, we are going to unleash judgment on them. Which is not final. But which would show them that don't try this again. Don't try this at home, as they say. Anyway, so this restoration, that the scripture which says that all the years that the locust has eaten, all the years that the locust has eaten, and I'm telling you, there are years which the locust has eaten from you. He's restoring. I will restore. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. So when you live here, and when you have your Holy Communion, don't go and expect it to be the same. It is not going to be. Because there are people who have been, you know, blockading you, blocking your blessing at your workplace, in your neighborhood, in what, you know. And their judgment has come now. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. The clawing locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army which I sent among you. I'll restore the years. Praise the Lord. Somebody say restoration. Are you ready for it? Are you really ready for it? You know, when Israel, when God wanted to get Israel out of Egypt, I've told you this previously before. He sends Moses and says, where am I? Send my, the God of the Hebrews, Jehovah, has sent me and said that let my people go, that they may go and serve me. Then Pharaoh, who is speaking as the devil, says, who is Jehovah that I should obey him? I do not know Jehovah, neither am I going to listen to him and let Israel go. But of course, you know what happens. The first three miracles which happen, Moses does them, then also the Pharaoh's enchanters do them. The fourth miracle, Pharaoh's enchanters cannot do it. By the sixth miracle, when God now separated
Goshen, where the Israelis were, from this other place, where he says now there are going to be frogs all over the land of Egypt, except in Goshen. That's when Pharaoh called Moses and says, who is going? Then Moses said that we are going, all of us, we and our children and our wives and our children and our flocks are going. Then Pharaoh says that only the men go and don't go far. You see, now that's how the devil. I was telling you the other day, when you start praying seriously in tongues and you start soaring high, you get, you know, you go higher than where he wants you to be. He wants you to be there where you're fighting. Every time you're rolling in the mud with him. So he says, don't go far. Then Moses said, no, we are going 3 days' journey into the wilderness. Then Pharaoh says, no, you're not going. Then after some time, he comes and calls. And when there is darkness, because the sun was the Pharaoh's personal god, you know. So when God created darkness, pitch darkness for 3 days, and there was light in Goshen, that's when Pharaoh knew that he's not dealing with somebody who is at the level of his god. So he called Moses and said, now you can go with your wives and with your children. Only let your flocks stay behind. Then Moses said, no, our flocks are going with us. Now you see, I want you to know that, if you see, I told you this before. If when your deliverance from the enemy is complete, your finances will be moving like this. Because that is what shows that you've conquered the enemy. When your money is going, because that's the one place he wants. He says, at least you go, okay, you go. But let your flocks stay here with us. Then Moses says, no, our flocks are not staying. We shall go with. And even he says, we shall go with every hoof. Not a hoof shall be left behind of our livestock. Then Pharaoh says, no, now this is too much. Now that's where you know that the enemy, where it says, okay, you got born again. Yeah, I let you go. Then now your family says, you get born again, but your wife, your what? You know, and some people, your wife is very antagonistic. Your deliverance is partial. She has to be also, you know. Then afterwards, it says, your children. Then your children are so antagonistic. Your relatives are antagonistic. Then you complete that. You deliver those ones as well and take them. Your wife, your children, and what? And says, but okay, now finally, your money. That one, you're joking. Eh? That one is staying here. Then Moses says, no. Not a single hoof is staying here. We are going with it. Then God says in Exodus 12:12, that tomorrow I will execute final judgment on all the gods of Egypt, and then he will let you go. I will show him that he doesn't have a single thing. Then I will let you go. Then says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. Then he says, I am the Lord. In other words, it started with, who is the Lord that I should obey him? Then God ends up saying, I am the Lord. You will know who the Lord is. So when I have destroyed your firstborn. Now, when he does that, then he says, okay, now go with your livestock. But he does not stop there. You see, restoration does not stop with taking what is. No. Then Moses says, then God tells Moses, tell the children of Israel to go and ask the Egyptians for all their articles of silver and gold and all their nice clothes and what, and let them bring them and take them and plunder Egypt. Now that is restoration. Restoration is not just getting back what was yours. It is getting back what was yours plus interest. So now they went, and not only did they take the hoofs, they plundered the rest of Egypt. They took all their silver and their gold, and God puts a fear of Israel on the Egyptians, that he says, just go and ask your neighbors. He says, do you have any gold there? Yes. Then they go and they bring out all the, you know, the caskets of gold and give you, please go, hurry up and go. It says they even escorted them out very fast, because they were so tired of them. They saw what all the plagues and what,
And there were even several servants who were saying, are we all going to die before you accept and just let these guys go? So now, that is real restoration. When even your enemy has to give up. And doesn't it say that also in Proverbs 6, verse 31? Verse 30, start from Proverbs 6, 30. It says, people do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Okay? Verse 31. Yet when he is found, he must restore how much? He may have to give up all the substance of his house. So now the enemy is restoring sevenfold. He's the thief. I want you to believe me. I want you to believe me that what has been stolen, he's not just bringing back what he stole. He's bringing up what he stole plus interest. Praise the Lord. Now, this is the time. This is the time. Everything is changing. Now, he has stolen time. He has stolen your substance. He has stolen your joy. He has stolen, you know, positions that were supposed to be of yours. Now, I want you to step out of here believing that after this, everything changes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you ready? Are you ready with your Holy Communion? I'm under the blood of the Lamb. First, pray in tongues, everybody. Father, in the name of Jesus, we sanctify this bread and this wine, and we receive it this day as the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. The body that was broken for us, and the blood that was shed for us. And on this day, as we receive it, Heavenly Father, I thank you because you restore everything. Everything. And this is the seal of our restoration. That even as we partake of it, even our health is restored. And all of our wealth is restored. And we enter into a season of ownership. Ownership. And the thief returns sevenfold of what he has stolen. In the name of Jesus. Now, as we partake of this, in memory of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, even as he commanded us in his word, we thank you, Father, because every promise of the new covenant is fulfilled in our lives, in this church, in this end time church. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the body of Christ, in the name of Jesus, as we partake of the body, we believe that everything that is wrong with our own bodies is perfected as we partake of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that is amiss in our bodies is made perfect, is made whole in the name of Jesus. And every sickness is banished, every illness, every weakness in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. And the blood of Jesus, even as we partake of the blood of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for everything that the blood of Jesus purchased for us to have that is involved in our redemption. We receive of it this day from your hands, O Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. The blood of Jesus. So on Monday, right here, we have a meeting for all partners, but also all ministers as well. There are some things we want to talk about, so spare us a Monday, even those who don't usually come. I'll be here. I want us to talk about a few things in regard to what we have been believing God for. And so we'll start. What time do we start? We'll start at 6. You can come anytime. We'll be here up to 7:30, 8 maybe. So endeavor to come. Anybody who is a partner, who wants to become a partner, who is a minister in even the choir, and everybody. I know you're busy people, but I expect to see you here on Monday. Praise the Lord.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gaba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.